Right, thank you. So many of you might still know me from my high energy physics times. I have moved on to a life science lab, this Max Delbruck Center for Molecular Medicine in Berlin in Germany. And last year, HAPIX in Berlin, I gave a presentation arguing that the science in life science now warrants participation of life science labs in HAPIX, because the data amounts are getting so large for our experiments and investigations that it doesn't make sense for us to reinvent the wheel ourselves without at least listen to the high energy physics experiments and experiences first. And I argue mostly copy what you've done so far, so that we don't have to make all the mistakes that you've done in the last 10, 15 years. The addition that we need to make are typically fine-grained access to keep the data protection people happy. But that's pretty much the only difference we have. And so last year I was giving a presentation about the science we do and the computing that's involved. And this year, today I'm giving a presentation, a very high-level site report, just to introduce you to our site. And then maybe in future HAPIX talks, we will go into further detail how we actually then do the things that we do. So a short reminder, we are part of the German Helmholtz Association. It's something like the Max Planck Association. In Helmholtz, there are a number of well-recognized institutions, like DESI is part of Helmholtz. The KIT in Karlsruhe is part of Helmholtz, and so are in total 18 institutions in Germany, and six of those are concerned with healthcare. Those are the ones in red here on the slide. And so the MDC is located up here in the upper right corner in Berlin. And yeah, you can see the numbers. Funding is roughly 100 million euro per year for our site. And we are roughly 1,700 people on site. So just to give you a vague idea about the size that we are. And then this is a picture of our campus. So it's very green. So the green dots there are actually trees. So it's very beautiful coming out there. The blue buildings are buildings where institutions are located that do science. And mostly it's the MDC doing basic science and life science, except for which building is this? It doesn't matter. This building here, which is a Leibniz Institute, which is on campus as well. And then there are several buildings related to translational medicine, where we work very closely together with the Charité University Hospital in Berlin. So those are the greenish buildings here. This is more the kind of applied medical research. And then the yellow buildings here are startup companies that are located on our campus. These are companies that come out of MDC or the Leibniz Institute. They're all related around life science and medical technology. So we provide space for them as well. And then we have some shared infrastructure like our Mensa, a nice teacher lab for just public education outreach. So you can see it's not one building, the MDC, but it's a whole campus. And the IT department now does IT for this entire campus and for all the services. So we do everything from user support, infrastructure, so DNS, mail, web, scientific computing, of course, web databases, and so on and so on. So you can see we are quite lean with 38 staff doing all this. And a little side note, we are hiring. We have open positions, either new positions or positions that need to be refilled. So if you know anyone, physicists who know a lot about computing or so, send them my way, please. So now, in terms of networking, since we have this entire campus, let me start with the wide area connection first. We do have two connections, one to the general internet, which is provided by our NRAN, the DFN, which is a redundant 1 gigabit connection. So that's our regular email, web traffic, and so on, reaching Google. But then also we are connected with a metropolitan area network in Berlin with a redundant or soon-to-be redundant 10 gigabit connection. And that is how we collaborate, for instance, with the Charité or with the Zuse Institute in Berlin, which is a high-performance computing center in Germany. And that allows us to, for instance, exchange larger amounts of data in a reasonable amount of time. But you will also notice that the other, especially life science institutions in the Helmholtz Association, of course, not in Berlin. So exchanging data with, for instance, the German Cancer Research Institute in Heidelberg still goes via our 1 gigabit link, and that's more than painful. So we regularly ship hard disks. It's fast, but it's bursty, but it works. And we are working on this, but it's, of course, quite expensive. You know all about it. Then on campus, we have a backbone that is currently still 10 gigabit, all on Enterasys hardware, which was bought a while ago by Extreme Network. And we are upgrading this right now to have the buildings at least connected via 40 gigabit. That is mostly done. What's still missing is that the core routers that connect all these building switches together, they're still on 10 gigabit. And we will purchase hardware this spring, late spring, to then really make this a 40 gigabit backbone so that we can then exchange data very easily on campus. Because we do have the microscopes sitting there, the data center is there, the gene sequences are over here in different buildings, so the data needs to flow on the campus without really affecting all the other network traffic. That's why we do this. Our firewall is a 10 gigabit capable FortiGate system. We will see how that continues, especially with the brain connection. If that It can't stay with 10 gigabit, it's clear. The question is when we have to upgrade it to 40 or maybe even 100 gigabit, then we have to think about what to do with the firewall as well. We have no idea yet whether we want to go to something like a science DMZ, that we have the big data sit a little bit outside of our firewall because we have healthcare data, that's probably not really feasible. So we have to think what to do with that firewall. But buying a 40 gigabit or 100, even 100 gigabit firewall is pretty expensive, so we'll see what will come out of this. Then we are working on getting more or less complete coverage of wireless network on our campus, including the patio of our Mensa, so that people sit with their laptops, their mobiles, their tablets, anywhere they want. The wireless controllers and the access points are Cisco. We just recently exchanged or renewed the controllers. So it's unlikely that we in the near future switch there to Extreme Network as well, but that is a possibility. We'll see how that control continues. And then in the high performance computing arena, right now we're having Dell Force 10 hardware there because they won the bid, but that of course depends on the tender. If HP or IBM or who knows who wins the next tender, then we will have other gear there as well. And then as a side note, I'm ashamed to admit, but we don't do any IPv6 yet. It's only very recently that we acquired an IPv6 domain address. So we could start, but we don't have enough people, really. It's not really a pressing issue. Our class B network is large enough for now. We don't use any non-routable addresses. We now started to use the 172 address range for the Berlin Institute of Health because that's the same address range for this kind of virtual institution within the MDC and the Charité Hospital, but that has nothing to do with us running out of IPv4 addresses. So there's simply no pressure to do that yet. So that's the networking. Then what we call HPC, which is kind of the regular computing for you guys, it's a standard Beowulf current cluster, it doesn't matter. It's about 150 compute nodes. They are connected via 1 gigabit Ethernet to a 10 gigabit backbone. And the scientific storage is directly connected to that switch as well. So that's also then 10 gigabit connected so that the data doesn't go all over the campus. But the ingress, the ingest of data from the gene sequencing machines is then kind of as an extension of this switch. It does go through the regular backbone, but directly connected to this HPC switch and goes then onto that storage. At least that's the idea. I don't know if we are completely there yet, but that's the idea. Or like the microscopes, they have a little setup like this, but much, much smaller next to the microscopes so that the data doesn't have to flow through campus there either. I should point out we have a tender out right now for 70 more machines. They will have 10 gigabit Ethernet to the compute nodes with the 40 gigabit backbone. We already have that in the Berlin Institute of Health, and that proved very useful for the large data amounts that we shuffle back and forth. It's a file system for doing really the compute on. We are using GPFS. And for the cooler data, we are using NFS. That's about 3.5 petabyte in usable space. Most of this is on some Oracle ZFS appliances. Some of it is on self-made Dell server, NFS server hardware. We are quite unhappy with these Oracle NFS appliances, performance issues. We are working with Oracle right now. It's unclear what the issue really is. We are not seeing anywhere close the performance they promise us. So we'll see how that continues. We might extend the GPFS file space and tell people really don't use NFS unless the data is really cold and be done with it. So we'll see how that continues. So all this is running on CentOS 6 or CentOS 7. Everything is puppetized. We also manage all our other server hardware like that. There are some SUSE Linux servers for our enterprise resource planning systems, SAP, just for the warranty purposes. But those machines are also under Puppet, so it's all fully automated. Now my last slide, the rest of our infrastructure runs pretty much on Windows. Before I came to MDC, we were completely a Windows shop, and the central IT didn't do any support for scientific computing, so the researchers ran their own Linux and did whatever they want. And that's the reason why we're using Active Directory, now that everything is integrated, also for Linux and for the HPC part. So mainly for authentication and authorization works reasonably well. Only problem is that whenever some things don't work under Linux, our Linux administrators blame AD for everything, which is kind of still a philosophy problem. So I'm working on that right now. Email, it's just Microsoft Exchange. We have a camp load balancer in front of it. Then backup and archive, we just replaced two of our four Oracle SL500 with LTU4. With two frames of a new IBM, I think there's an S missing, TS4500, with 12 Jaguar drives, that's about 15 petabytes. That should get us through the next 3 to 5 years. We will see if that is true, but we still have two spaces left when the last remaining SL500 old tape robots will leave, so we can expand this IBM library by two more frames, so that should get us to like 30 petabyte, and that should definitely be enough. We used to use the Oracle SEMFS software as an HSM system. We have migrated away from that because that is available only under Solaris, and we wanted to really have a Linux solution, so we went to Versity, which did a re-implementation of SEMFS. And it turns out this really is a drop-in replacement. We didn't have to convert databases or anything at all. We just changed the software, restarted it, and it worked. It was really amazing. And then as a backup system, we're using Veritas Net Backup. All just standard stuff. Telephony, we are using voice over IP in some buildings. On some other buildings, we are still using analog phones and telephony doesn't belong to IT yet. I'm saying we are working on a concept where we can integrate this, and then we will have a comprehensive voice over IP plan for the campus, and I think then we can talk more about this. So this is the broad overview I wanted to give you today. And again, I think in future Hapaxes, we will talk more about, for instance, the data management that we do with the medical data, just to give you an idea where there are really differences between us and you, essentially. So the life science and the high energy physics community. Thank you very much.
Is there any question?
You mean mail servers or clients?
Mailboxes on Exchange. How many?
Oh, mailboxes.
Mailboxes.
Sorry. Well, I told you we are about 1,700 people on site. That includes guests and students and so on. So my guess is between 2,000 and 2,500.
Thank you.
So it's not like a university with 30,000 or so. So in that sense, we are a small site.
More question? No? Okay, thanks.
Thank you.